Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. The Sports Objective after dark. In fact, tonight I'm very excited to have a dear friend of mine. Appreciate, by the way, before I forget, at a Kannapolis Cannonballers game is my good friend Bubba Rosenbaum. He's from China Grove. He is the producer, co-host. He does it all. Bubba, thank you so much, buddy. I know you're behind the scenes, so I want to give him a lot of street cred, all the stuff he does. And with us right now, the director of video production for ECU Athletics, my dear friend, Brian Medor. Medor, man, it's so great to have you back on the show. I know our ratings are going to go way up because of you.
Yeah, because you know I'm going to say something that's going to get me fired.
No.
You know what's funny is also I did a Clip Brock from Pirate Radio. I did his show a while back, and he always reminds me that I got taken off the air because of my lack of a filter. So I do my best to, sometimes speak the truth, but then you have to walk a fine line. So we'll try to do that tonight. Don't get me fired, dude.
No, I'm not. Don't worry. I think too much of you. You're not the person. I'll keep it. I was getting ready to say something that I won't. I'll be nice. It wasn't about you. But I did say recently, and you're one of the people I was talking about on our show, about how we're unique at ECU because there are a lot of us that went to ECU. We're students at ECU. Yes. We've covered ECU. You're now, obviously, you were with 7 and 9, but obviously – So you covered ECU that way. And then what year did you start? Remind me, it's been
January of 2011 is when I went over. I was at Channel 9 for, 9 years and then 6 years at WITN. And then January of 2011 is when I started it at East Carolina.
No doubt. And time is flying. I knew it wasn't a few. I knew it's been a while. Well.
Oh, by the way, I buy Coach Mac lunch. I heard I heard Coach Mac. You threw me on the bus with buying him lunch. He threw me on the bus. That's wrong. Because I buy him lunch all the time. In fact, I take it over and go visit him during COVID, especially. I took it over to him several times. So there's that. But no, Coach Mac did a terrific job on your show. I was going to tell you guys that was a really, really intriguing, engaging, and I enjoyed listening to some of the things that Coach Mac had to say. Of course, Kyle is—he always brings the thunder. But you guys had a lot of interesting things that were tossed around about the whole conference realignments and everything. That was really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I love Coach Mac. He gives me a hard time, and I have cats. And there was a cat that like climbed.
Oh, he said it was behind you. It was behind you. You got a cat, and I don't know if you see, he was standing right behind us. I know he knows that because he's a big cat guy. So, because he was pinch hitting for me that night. I was supposed to go in with you guys, and I was under the weather a little bit, and I'm still kind of fighting it a little bit. I've got my bachelor kit, Theraflu and tissue paper, which is toilet paper. I say bachelor. I've got a girlfriend probably watching who's not happy about me saying bachelor, but anyway, that's the best I can do.
I won't get you in trouble there. I'm happy for you, man. And it's one of those things where we were talking about the fact of how much we care about East Carolina. And a lot of times, I know there's some people that come in and maybe this is their first gig with television or whatever, radio. But I can truly say that we were talking off air. I thought it was right. 1989. I actually would have been here. My freshman year was 91, but I was
great
a fan.
Year to come, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. But I started actually in 92, the end of 92, early 93. It's when I actually came to Greenville and started school. But I was obviously, I've been an East Carolina fan since I was 13 years old. But we're talking about the fact that it's a unique situation because a lot of times you have colleges or pro teams where people really don't care and they just rip the school franchise or whatever. With us, I mean, you look at all the people, a lot of the people in the room, like a press conference, there's a lot of East Carolina people that are covering East Carolina and that we really care. And, the one thing, and the administration may get mad at me, not to get you fired, but I always say,
here we I'm go. Gonna,
no, the only thing I will say is I will die a pirate. And and the fact that I care that much about it. And I'm very happy. I will say this Pirates Unite campaign. I'm tickled to death. Do you guys have anything? Let me say this because I'm a broadcasting nerd, as you know. Is there anything that Meteor, you guys behind the scenes, that you guys need that we could say, hey, we really need to help Meteor out and give, you know, such and such, or raise money for stuff? I was thinking about it on the drive back home tonight.
It's really simple. Buy season tickets. There's no – the engine that drives this thing is football, and you know that as well as I do. Season tickets are the way to me. You know, you can join the Pirate Club, of course. That's an easy one. And I mean, we can have all the drives and everything else we want in the world, but we graduate too many people every year from East Carolina who either are ignorant, not stupid, or the word ignorant means you don't know, and they don't know about the Pirate Club. They don't know what it does. And maybe that's some of that's our fault, but we there are too many people out there who graduate from East Carolina who need to know about East Carolina athletically and the school itself. And those are the ways that you can help. If you're an East Carolina fan and you're not part of the Pirate Club and you're not in some way supporting the university, then are you really a fan? Or are you kind of like, if it's a Saturday, I want to go hang out and drink with my friends and tailgate? Well, that's fine too. But get a ticket, come inside and watch the game. You know, I'll never have a problem with anybody. If they decide they don't want to join the Pirate Club, that's fine. For a long time, I was in the Pirate Club. It was I just didn't do it. I was in the news media. I didn't know if I should or not. And then when I finally joined many years ago, when I joined, I was like, well, I get it. I mean, you're supporting scholarships for the student athletes. And that's the whole point. That's what the Pirate Club's for. But there are other things that you can do. You can the season tickets is a big one for me. Come to the individual games if you choose to come to the state game. You don't want to go to another game this year. Well, that's better than nothing. But to me, be a season ticket holder, because there's one thing that I'll always remember. Skip Holtz when he came to East Carolina, brilliant. When he took the job, he needed it. That was a win-win. You know, Terry Holland found a guy who needed a job, and Skip Holtz found a program that needed a coach. And he had just, you know, his dad and him had the falling out and whatever. And so here Skip comes in and he's like, you know what? I see, you know, this giant is been sleeping, because, you know, we went through the rough John Thompson years. And so the fans weren't there. So Skip saw, all right, well, he put it into his contract, I get bonuses based on number of season ticket holders. And that he crushed it, because we won. He showed us we could win again. And he did. And then boom, 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 we season tickets were through the roof, and we
like 24,000, right?
Yes, it was unbelievable. And you know, now we're sniffing 15,000 this year. Yep. And I'm a Mike fan. I love Mike, big fan of Mike Houston. And you know me, I will not say I'm a big fan of somebody unless I am. Yeah. I'll dance around it all day long. Hey, well, we got to get behind this guy. If I don't like him, I'm not going to say I'm a big fan of the guy. And I'm a big fan of Mike's, and I do think that he's got the DNA in him to really succeed here. And so to answer your question and circle back to it, if you're not going to join the Pirate Club, fine. A season ticket holder, fine. Then buy tickets to go to the game. Because being there, I know watching from home on your big screen TV, it's comfortable and all that. But there is nothing better than sitting in a stadium when it explodes and erupts and you feel that energy inside. I mean, you know, I was telling some people today when we were talking about the video board that we have going up right now. And
tell us about that.
I will. You know, is it going to be done in time? Well, it will be. Is the audio going to be done in time? Yeah, we'll see. If it's not perfect, I don't care if the game is great. Because if you guys remember 2011, 2010, Ruff's first game, the video board was new.
Tulsa, right?
Tulsa. And the video board, it didn't go – nothing went right that day.
You remember
the bleachers and
that's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. You got my mind with the Boneyard.
Oh
that,
yeah.
That middle second, it like collapsed. Was it the
second? Well, it was one or two of them. And then by God, and then I was in news media at that time. I was at Channel 7. And I said, I heard Morgan say, please, everybody in the Boneyard, do not rip up the bleachers. And I was like, Morgan, you should have just said, everybody in the Boneyard, rip up the bleachers, because nobody knew to do it. And all of a sudden they were all doing it. And then all of a sudden they were ripping all the bleachers down. So, but nobody remembers that stuff other than us. But if you think back to that game, you remember one thing: Dominique Davis lofting up a Hail Mary to Justin Jones, touchdown. We win the game on the last play of the game. And it was one of the greatest finishes at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. And nobody remembers the video board didn't work. The boneyard fell apart and people could have been hurt. Nobody remembers that. They remember the Hail Mary. That's what they talk about anyway when I talk to people. So
and you remember that
because you were there.
Yeah, and you remember Medor, that game, that group of kids won their very first game. They won on the last play of the game. And when they were seniors, they lost to UCF for that bad clock management with Lincoln Riley.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to bring up a bad memory, but that's the last game at Dowdy Ficklin was that game.
Yeah, it was. You're right. And if you were going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, that was that game. Take a knee. And I still talk to Shane about that game. And he's like, we should have just punted it through the end zone, you know, give them the ball in the 20, you know, instead we gave them, you know, but that's reliving bad stuff, man. We got to bring that up. Yeah. Let's talk about me getting fired again.
Anyway, let's move on. I'm very excited about you talking about the video board. So can you explain to us that, cause Kyle was the one that brought it up to me. And I remember that was like 2010 or something like, or that time with the video board. So we've gone 12 years. As far as technology-wise, what are we adding? I know we don't have to get too deep in the weeds, but what are we adding that will enhance our game day production, so to speak?
Not to speak over everybody with the pixels and ratios and all that stuff, but it's going to look way more crisp. It'll be brighter during the day. It'll be more crisp day and night because you're having more pixels. You understand how ratios work with television. Most people don't. They just say, well, is it full screen or not? And that's it. But it's Samsung's putting it in, and it's high quality. The audio system and when it's done is going to be more measured as far as coming around the stadium, how you hear it. But it's the people who are putting it in and doing it are working hard to get it done in time. And hopefully that will happen. I say, hopefully it will happen. It better happen. But I think you're going to notice the difference. And, I told you earlier I wasn't going to talk about Curtis Thiemann, but I'm going to because we haven't finalized doing the – and here I go because I can't help myself. The best videos that have ever been played, in my opinion, are his that have been on this video board. And I don't think that our old video board did them justice. That's how beautiful it's going to look this year. And so I'm talking about Curtis Thiemann of Port City Films, of course, and big fan of that guy. But
speaking of a pirate,
he's a heck of a pirate, man. He's a true pirate, and he does incredible work. And I've been down; I've worked with him every year. He's done these things, and when I say work with him, I've watched. The guy's impressive, and everything he does is impressive. But it's the quality, the clarity, all those things. We've got a lot more. You can see a lot more prompts and things like that from the players and things like that that you've seen over the years. But I think they'll be better this year. The quality is just going to be better. You'll see it. And it's going to be beautiful. And I'm glad that they made that investment. They needed to do it. And we're doing it. So, and you know, it's baby steps, man. There are a lot of things we need to do and we should have done before. We haven't, but we're now catching up and we are doing them. So, I'm excited about it. I know our video production guys are very excited about it. Once it's in place, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to learn how to use it. I don't mess with that side of it. I know about it, but I don't dive into it. I do work out of that part of the because most people don't know our control room, the hub of our video epicenter is under the boneyard, and it's where the old Pearl concession stands used to be, and it's a state-of-the-art room. It's a production room. It's amazing. With the windows are open, you can look in and watch during the game if you want to watch. The students are funny when they're getting their time one on and banging on the glass is kind of funny sometimes, but overall it's been a good thing, and it's been a neat location because I like being – I'm used to being on the sideline. I always shot games from the sideline with a camera.
Remember, yeah.
I'm always running up and down the sideline, and that was back in the day when I was reporting and shooting. And so for me to be in a room watching the game on a monitor at the game is weird for me, man. I want to go out there and hear the crowd because to me that's where the fun is. That's why I love doing what I do, is to enjoy the crowd and all the people who are around it. So –
no doubt. It's going to be great. By the way, get your season tickets, 1-800-DOW-ECU, yes. ECUPirates.com. I'm learning, by the way, Brian, every day this week. I've been going to the website. I'm trying to be an old dog learning new tricks, like the cliche, on how to give money to the Pirate Club. I usually just call and do my stuff over the phone, like season tickets and all that. But now I'm trying to learn how to do everything that way. So you can go to ecupirates.com. And by the way, go to, like Bubba has up on the screen, for those watching live or archive, ecupirateclub.com. Or you can be old school and call them at 252-737-4540. That, I tell you, one of the things, Brian, so with Meador, I'm not going to get you in trouble because this is on me. So if anybody gets, no, it's not bad. It's not controversial. One of the things that we desperately need is, I've been saying for almost 10 years now, is we need to have our whole stadium networked and wired for internet. The internet is better. It's a little bit better than it was, but we desperately need it. I know, like, in 2013 or 14.
Yeah, with the boosters up, the Wi-Fi boosters, yeah.
Yeah. It was going to be like $8 or $9 million back then. I don't know what the price tag would be now. I'm sure it's way more, but not to say we have money lying around. People always get on me for being blindly optimistic, but I just feel like that's something for the game day experience. You and I went to school when tickets were like $20. We had no internet. Not to be like the old man in the room, but I go to watch the game. But I also like to know one thing they did, by the way, I wanted to add.
Live look-in. That's what you're about to say.
Yeah, the live look-ins. Yeah. I love the scores. Please keep the scores. If anybody's watching or you care or you can pass along, when they were doing a lot of those games, the scores of games up on the scoreboard, that was fantastic last year. That was one of my things that I've and I give props when, you know, I'm harsh sometimes, but when good things are the game day experience, that was one thing that was lacking, and I felt like they've done a better job. At least I remember last season, maybe the last couple seasons, but having the live look-ins, having the scores up there on a regular basis and not just waiting to the fourth quarter.
And I know, folks are, they'll say this is an excuse, but no, it's not. It's a reason. We are at East Carolina. We're very short-staffed in a lot of ways, and you don't have anybody who has the time to, because you have to pay for that service. You have to pay from automatically to be put up on the board. You have to pay for the feed, the RSS feed, or however you're getting them. You have to pay. You just can't just throw up ESPN's bottom line and crop it and let it go. That's not how that works. So within the structure, the framework that our scoreboard operates on, there's a little square we can say, okay, well, this is where we're going to do scores.
It's like right over here in the corner, right? The left corner.
Right. You have to pay to get that the service that allows you to have them updated live, whatever. Or somebody has to manually type them in. And over the years, we've manually typed them in at halftime. And that's usually when you saw, here is a look at today's scores, blah, blah, blah. And it was me or whoever was back there who had a spare minute after cutting highlights at halftime or whatever. You just, I got it this time, or Greg Pierce would do it this time, or Brandon Smith, another guy in our back. We would knock it out real quick. So finally, we have a service now that it's gotten much cheaper because, you know as well as I do, when – There are more people walking in the room to offer you something to buy, all of a sudden the price starts coming down because the people who were doing it first were just absolutely gouging you. And I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars they tried to make us pay 10 years ago. It's so ridiculous. Now it's much more affordable. And we've got this whole, like around the arena, the inside monitors around the stadium, you see there are stats, scores, and all that. I mean, there are things that we can get done much cheaper than 10, 7, 5, 6 years ago, whatever. But no, that the live look-in was it was finally made possible by Will Bailey, and he was one of our new guys. And for when we took over the whole ESPN Plus thing, and he's terrific. He's a real hungry young guy from Mississippi State University, and he's added a lot of content to East Carolina as far as fan engagement, and he was the one who managed to make that happen, and I love it. I'm a big fan of that, and you can't let it interrupt your game where people are more interested than that, but you can give them something at the pregame, give them something maybe even at halftime, and during a break or a slow time, why not throw something up there? The fans are interested. They want to see it, you know? So I'm all for that. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's also something that you can – put a sponsorship on and make money on. So that's hopefully what's going to happen this year. So
I have one idea that I won't really bad. I doubt I'll ever get. And it's not, again, that not controversial. It's a way for our university to make money and where I could hang out with you and a lot, Coach Mac and a lot of other folks, big pirates. But I really want to have a sports bar inside the stadium. You know how they have like cat tables at Mudcats?
Yes. Yes. We've talked about that many times. Yeah.
Please have a sports bar. Yeah. I don't care if you steal my idea, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, But look, we have pirate fans. What do pirates like to do? We love to drink beverages. And there's plenty of people that love to get together like you. And there's a lot of us that would see more of each other if we had a common place like that. And all the money goes, guess where? To East Carolina. I'm not looking. It's not for me to make. Again, you and I have like ideas we're throwing out. Not every idea I have is great, but I really feel like that would be something that we could. In other words, we need to find, this is my point, we need to find ways that we can make money off the stadium year round and not just the 7 home games. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I think that there's a lot of, I don't know if it's legalities or what happens, you know, there, but I feel like that that's something that we desperately need in a way that we don't have $100 million for scoreboard. There you go.
Yeah, there. This is Coach Mac's favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Cat land right now.
Yeah.
Cat dead.
So Brian Bailey, Billy Weaver, and Brian North and me years ago joked about having a sports bar around or on the corner over there of the Murphy Center. We were going to call it the Killer Bees. We thought, man, how cool would that be? Of course, we weren't thinking about helping ECU out. We were trying to, like, how can we retire? But we used to joke about possibly having some type of sports bar. But beyond that, I would love that. I don't know how – I just don't – you know, I know I'm not by any means the smartest guy in the room, and I know that those ideas have been pitched, and maybe there's not the place for it here. We do have an elementary school across the street. I don't know the logistics. I don't know the legality behind it. I think it would be amazing to have that type of thing on our campus. But, you know, again, this is me just talking about what I wish versus what is a reality. And those are two different things.
Well, how about the, what about the Pirate Club area? Can you close that in? Like if it was, that area is kind of set up like a bar already. That was my idea, where we wouldn't be spending money on construction. And we're, can we close that in or have a way that we could close it in when it's not, when it's cold outside, and have that area where we could come to?
Yeah, they've actually done it for like concerts and stuff. It's been right. Kind of cool. You have that little area, the pavilion type thing, or if you remember the original designs for the Town Bank, was called Town Bank, but that was supposed to be the case, and it didn't come to fruition because of lots of reasons. But you know, I feel like there's room for that. I just don't. The unfortunately, and here I go. Gosh, the Murphy Center is a problem for us because you can't put anything on top of it. You just can't. You can't put stands on top of it. You can't expand. You can't do anything with it. And so the original designs, when I saw the original designs of the upper deck, and then the new tower, and then around where the Murphy Center is, you know, they had stands and they had the bar area, and that was all this beautiful. These great things we thought were going to happen. Well, that was shot down immediately because you can't do it. You can't, the structure of the Murphy, you can't put anything on top of it.
Well, my long-term plan, what I heard, and I don't know if this is true, is our long-term plan would be that eventually we would take the Murphy Center and we would move it somewhere else. And they could not, that right now we need to worry about 51,000. So don't think I'm talking about in the right now. But what I was told, a long-term plan was you would move the Murphy Center somewhere else, and you would close in that stadium. You could close that in.
Make it a bowl.
Yeah, you could get the most I've been told that you could get, like if we added upper decks on both sides and all that, is around 75,000. And I'm not saying that right now, but right now we just need to focus on the 51.
Yeah, I think you'd be, if you were to throw the money away on that, you'd be dealing with a 1/3 empty stadium most of the time, because that's just, I don't know if that's, 75,000. I think that's a stretch. Let's just get close to getting. I want to average over the 40. I want to have.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about averaging. I'm not talking about the number. I want to see 40,000 people in the stadium, which means, you know, it's close to a sellout if you're gonna have that many people in the stadium. So, right. And for that matter, if that many people are coming, that means we're winning, and that to me is the most important thing.
By the way, making his debut, or not debut, but fashion be late. Let's bring in Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Kyle Barber is here.
My man.
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, talking about stadium expansion now. I think everything's going the other way now. Stadiums are getting smaller.
Yeah. Thank you for chiming in.
Yeah. No, I'm more inclined on making things nicer. Let's upgrade what we have, make what we have nicer.
put a pool
hell, in. You could even go smaller, put more chair back seats
hey,
in. I mean,
I'm with you, man. I'm quality over quantity. I want quality.
Hey, can we put like Jacksonville, the Jaguars? Can we put up? Hey, we have 4 home games this year. It's going to be hot as hell. We have, you know, Jacksonville has that pool at the Jaguars. We could have, you know, I'm trying to be politically correct, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There, everybody can be by the pool. You can have beverages by the pool, make some more money.
So you're a pool for the co-eds?
Yeah.
I'm
not getting in.
That's an interesting idea. I'd be in favor of it. I don't see it happening, but I don't know. Some realistic things. Obviously, the scoreboard upgrade is a huge thing.
Yeah,
and that's happening now, and the ribbon boards. And you know, I'd like to see. There are several things that come to mind to me, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I can't really remember who, but to me, the bowels of the stadium need to be upgraded. It's underneath the stadium where the bathrooms It looks like it looks like an abandoned amusement park or I don't know what it looks
like. Hey, by the way,
it looks like something Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Crew should be investigating. They some purple and gold kids. some purple and gold paint and some better lighting. I don't know how much that would cost. Look,
you could put a bar
and maybe some LCD screens all over the place where you can watch the game while you're getting a pirate beverage or a Coke.
Well, I mean,
some things like that. I think
it was last year. You needed the LED screen to watch the game because you were down there for 45 minutes. Okay, I'm getting fired.
Exactly. Okay.
Yes, we're not
100% true.
My girlfriend. I think
some things like that would be. Your girlfriend yelled. You said what?
Well, she texted me and said, I'm watching you right now. Turn off your TV. It's distracting or something like that. So I had to turn off the TV real quick.
By the way, we've got some folks chiming in. Let's get to that while we have a second. In fact, there's somebody that wants to give you that says you should give them a shout out, by the way, Midor.
Who's that?
And it's Brian Pays.
Oh, B Pays. I love B Pays.
He says,
yes. Oh, that's too funny.
Coming to your first bachelor party.
Yes, he was there. Yeah, he was there. Yep.
And how about, here's another person, Jada Payne Rogers. Brian is the best.
I love Jada. I'm a big fan of Jada. She's my girl. Love her.
Yeah, and then we actually have a question from Robert, and we'll get that up there. Robert says, is there a service for a conference? Is that a service a conference can negotiate with ESPN? He's talking about we were talking about the scoreboard and the – with the scores that are going up there, that's what he was asking.
You know what? There's probably a way to do it without even asking them. We just put it up there and crop it and not even ask them. But no, I don't think that's an ESPN thing. That's a separate deal. We're not, when we throw those things up, those live look-ins like that, we're not asking, we're just doing it. So I'm not trying to get us in trouble, but the legality side of it, I don't know. So you're asking the wrong guy on that one. I wish I had the answer.
And B Pays has a great idea. I think Kyle will
be. B Pays has got 1,000 great ideas.
Hey, Kyle, this is for you. Pays is actually, B Pays is doing something for you. He says, can we install a pole? We have a special section for the guy. he says we can call it bikinis and brews with a pool party I was talking about.
Yep. Hey, only if he DJs it.
Exactly. B Pays is the best. And then Robert said, a money fundraiser fishing tournament. Every boat gets a Pirates athlete.
Oh, maybe, that's a great idea. You know what happened, though? They'd all get seasick. Well, funny story. We were flying back from Tampa. This is Hurricane Matthew. Gosh, this has been like, how many years ago? 5 years ago? Was that 2018?
Was 18, I think.
Was it? I thought it was longer than that. That was like 17, maybe. But anyway, we were flying back.
Matthew,
16 or 17.
Wasn't it? 18 sounds right. It could have been 16.
It wasn't 18. It was 16. It was 16 because I'm doing the math in my head on some things, and no, it was definitely that because. Okay. We were flying back through it, and we were the entire way, because this is under, of course, Coach Mo, and we had just gotten our butts handed to us, And it was bad all the way back. We decided to fly back for some stupid reason. And players were getting sick. It was like Coach Connors.
Is that where y'all had to somehow, and I don't remember. Did y'all fly back to Virginia and get stranded in like Roanoke Rapids?
That's where we stayed. Richmond's where we flew into. And it was we flew into we got turned down from Kinston, obviously, then Raleigh. And then Charlotte turned us down, and because they were closing, not turning us down specifically, because we just got our butts kicked, and they didn't want us to land there, but they didn't want our stink in their airport. No, it was Richmond was the only place where they were still allowing flights, and we flew all the way to Richmond, and then the buses met us there, and we couldn't get back to Greenville. I think it was flooded, so we ended up in two different motels in Roanoke Rapids, and on the way back, I mean, Coach Connors barfed. I forget the running backs coach, high school coach. He barfed. Lots of players were back there. Just it was the entire ride back was, and our new media relations director, Malcolm Gray. That poor guy. He's still to this day when he flies, and you guys know Malcolm. He has a squishy ball in his hand, and when the slightest bit of turbulence, he grips the seat in front of him, gets mad and starts squishing this ball, and it's all because of that flight. And it was that's how bad it was sustained the entire way. And you'd think like, wow, why would you guys fly through that? Well, I mean, you know, it's what were the 7,500 mile an hour gusts and that kind of thing, but you're flying, you know, several hundred miles an hour. So a plane can take that. It's not like you're endangering anybody. It just sucked. It just sucked. And we shouldn't have been doing it, but that was the administration we had at that time. So yeah, we could have stayed in sunny Tampa and no, we fly through a hurricane.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember wondering why in the world they just didn't spend the night in Tampa and try to make it back Sunday or Monday. Idiotic decision.
No, I was standing right there when it was made, and Mo wanted to come home. So,
yeah, that you know, anytime you have a situation where you put your athletes in risk, we had a situation. I'll tell this quick story. When I was coaching basketball at the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf in Wilson, we had a basketball tournament in January, and the athletic director at the time gave me a story. Thank you, Midor. And he wanted to be home with his wife. So we're driving, and we could have stayed there till Monday morning in the dorms at the school of Mississippi, right? In Jackson, Mississippi. So the athletic director said, no, we're leaving. We got all the way to Augusta. I tell this story all the time. I'm a huge fan of the Masters. It's my favorite golf tournament. The only time I've been to Augusta, Georgia is because it was because I-20 and I-95, the weather was so bad, they shut them down. We couldn't get – the director of the school says, why aren't you coming home? I said, I can't come. I can't go through South Carolina. We can't jump over South Carolina. And so the only time that I literally have been to Augusta, Georgia is we had to stay at a hotel, and the hotel had no electricity. It was great. Imagine having teenagers that can't hear and they can't see, and the electricity was going out. We had staff members making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. One of my teacher assistant was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the dark, all because an athletic director wanted to be home with his wife. And it was not safe. And the director of the school told me that he was going with my judgment. I said, there's nothing we can do. And I'm not risking the lives of all these people, including the bus drivers, just so the man can get home to meet his wife. No offense to his wife, who I love dearly. But anyway, sorry to take up that time. But you gave me a story there, Midor. It's just crazy. Even at the local level and high school level, people can make
dumb decision. Yeah, it's amazing. We give somebody that much power to make a decision.
Cost us $500 in hotel rooms. Oh, by the way, and we had no.
That's all.
Yeah,
thought it would be more than that. Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, I'm very excited, Kyle and Midor, about the Pirates Unite. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I want to raise some money here. Hopefully, we can. By the way, I have another idea for you, Midor. I hadn't even told you. Texted you about. Is there any way that we can I'm not trying to get you fired, I promise.
Gosh, every time you say that, man, I'm like,
I'm joking. I'm just totally joking with you. It's not controversial. Is there any way that we could do some kind of thing online to raise money Like, you know how we have telethons, like at Channel 7 for Children's Miracle Network that I love so much in my day job. Is there anything that we can do like that for Pirates Unite? It's something that I was thinking, I've been thinking about the last 2 weeks as a way that $5, $10, we got a lot of pirates out there. You gave me that idea. I was thinking about you, and I started thinking about there's got to be, and I'm not saying it because you're on there. I brag about you and Greg and all the people. I was like, our video production people, when people talk about ESPN Plus, I said, let me tell you something. I know them personally, especially Meador. I'll put them up against anybody in the country. And I'm not saying that because I know you, but you guys are awesome. But I was just thinking, is there any way not to give you more work? You don't have enough work, right?
No, you're about to give us more work, but go ahead.
If there was any way we could do some kind of, not radiothon, but even if the radio stations, TV station, but something we could do social media-wise that we could raise money, where there's a lot of people that always talk about that we need to grow the Pirate Club, where that they take a shower after work. They could give, maybe they can give $10, $20 towards Pirates Unite. And guess what? They'll feel excited about the fact they give money towards the, say if they want the indoor practice facility or they want to help out Coach Godwin with the stuff for baseball or whatever. If they can give $20, they can give $10. It creates excitement. I'm not trying to create more work for you, like a one-time deal where we have some kind of fundraiser. I don't know.
You know, those pushes, they give you a little bit of a bump or a spike or whatever, but you
not much.
You need growth, and growth means you need people to join. And I would say that everybody who's a Pirate Club member, take it upon yourself to, you know, for this year, I want to get three people to join. That's a small number. Ask three people, hey, look, you know, you're an East Carolina fan, get them to join the Pirate Club. And you know, to me, I've never been a chase the one $100,000 guy. I would rather have $100,000 guys. Because those $100,000 guys and $1,000 guys are more likely to spend more in the future than the one guy you've tapped for $100,000. That's just I prefer to go with I would rather have an army of blue collar people than just a few white collar people. That's my, you know, I don't dive into the minutia of how the Pirate Club does their thing. We got some good people there. I love Danielle Morin. She's a swimmer that we had. Terrific, terrific young lady. And she's over there just, you know, she's doing great things over there right now. And I hope that you know, we grow from that type of energy and the folks over there are growing our numbers versus just going for the big whale. Because to me, it takes a lot of little parts to make the big machine roll. And I want to see more of that. I want to see our numbers. We're getting back up. We had a dip for a while and we are starting to slowly grow back up. But we, you know, we could do better and we are going to do better.
By the way, B Pays and I have an idea that it's more work for you. But speaking of B Pays, it's not funny. So we were talking about plane rides. How about this? I don't know if you remember this, Meador, but he was talking about I was on the plane in '95. Oh, we missed the runway in Jackson, Mississippi, going to the Southern Miss game.
Yeah, that's fun. He was on that flight.
I didn't know that, but I remember the story. I've heard the story, but I didn't know. Pays was on there.
No, I didn't know that. That's
he says the PC needs a strong social media campaign with audio and video.
Agreed.
Anything we can do to help the Pirate Club, I'm not knocking it. Anything we can do,
you know, if we aren't where we need to be, then you should knock it. And I don't have a problem with that. I can take criticism. I mean, and it's not on me. I mean, I'm not working doing things for the Pirate Club that we could be doing, but you know, but I, you know, it takes everybody, you know, and it's, this is the whole, you know, the village raises you, you know, it's not you can't work in silos and you have to work together and, you know, we're getting there. There's going to be times when I've thrown my hands in the air many a times and I've said, you know what, because we don't have the resources that a lot of the places have, but that's not an excuse. You're just giving a reason. You know, give me people who want to, and I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Carlos. He's our new social media guy who just rolled in from the conference, and he's going to make a difference on the social media side. To Brian Pays's point, we now have somebody on point who has experience at a higher level, at a broader level, if not higher, who understands these things, and he is diving in and taking over the creative team and the direction and the vision that it's going. And I think you're going to see a lot of things in the weeks leading up to the season and during the season that you haven't seen before with us. And we've got lots of talent at ECU who want to be there. Jared Osmek is one of them. He's a Greenville guy. He was a kicker at J.H. Rose, and he's one of our main – he's our main video guy for football as far as social media and all the in-house videos go for football. And he does a terrific job. So
is that for the hype videos?
Yeah. And so getting those out there where they need to be and then having a game plan for when you do them, how you do them, that kind of thing, that's where Carlos is going to come in. And I think these things are going to be you know, things that are going to help us catch up with those. You know, I saw the poll today, and I see Houston and Cincinnati and UCF ahead of us. And I'm thinking, well, they're doing a lot of things within their team that we should be doing better, a better job of, or we're doing right there with them. And we're not far from, you know, cracking that egg to get into their that top three. You know, I know you have one tier, then the second tier, then, you know, the third tier. We're at the top, in my opinion, of the second tier. We're not quite where those guys are. And that goes beyond just what the football team's playing. That goes to all the support and all the things that we're doing staff-wise. And we're right there getting ready to crack in my opinion, and to get into that top tier, in my opinion.
How do we do that? Just by having those people on board?
I thought Kyle was getting ready to say something.
Kyle, are you there? Or maybe not. I don't know.
No, I was going to say doing exactly that, bringing good guys in who are – not only do they understand the culture here, but they are people who work hard, have excellent work ethic, and are, you know, they have talent. And Carlos has talent. Oz has talent. These guys have talent. And they're also progressive. They're not, you know, I'm an older guy. I'm more of a production type guy. I'm not, I don't Snapchat. I don't do that crap, in my opinion. That's what I call it. But I'm just not that guy. But I understand the value of it. And it's very important that we understand the kids, the next generation of Pirate fans are doing things differently than the last generation and then the previous generations. And we have to understand, we have to tap into that. So you have to have people who understand how that works. And I think the what we're putting into play now with this creative team is going to do that.
No doubt. And it's great, too, to have the experience like us, those of us that have been in media. It's hard to believe. I think it's 26 years for me now. It's hard to believe that. So
I don't want to do the math. Yeah,
exactly. but you're right, though, that we need people that are our age, but we also need people 20-somethings, 30-somethings that are younger that understand that social media because I have a Snapchat. I never even look at it. I use Instagram. Pretty much Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is my jams, I guess, plural. But what about as far as a season – do you see what do you think? I'm put you on the spot here.
Oh, you're talking about wins and losses now?
Yeah, what do you think?
Twice now I've read your mind tonight. No, I think 8 is a solid number I think 8 is when I look at last year to this year, I think there's gonna be improvement, but I do think it's tougher. The schedule is tougher in a lot of ways. But I see 4 games that are gonna be really hard to win. I see 8 that I feel like we can win. So I'm 8 is my number. And I've talked to Holton about this a few times. Actually, my girlfriend cuts his hair. He came over to the house last weekend because he had to do media day today. And he's so funny. He's like, nah, you know, Maddie makes my hair look – Maddie's my girlfriend. She makes my hair look good. And so he wanted to look good for camera today. And so I was talking to him. And we were talking about wins and losses. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I think 8 is like the – not the bottom number, but I think it's a solid number to try to hit. But I do think you can win that Houston game. I know Houston was picked to win the conference. You win that game. Almost beat Cincinnati. I mean, there are games we can win. The UCF is what I meant. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you look at last year, there were a couple of games we could have won, but there were 3 games we easily could have lost.
The Marshall game.
Marshall was an obvious one. You know, Memphis is another one. Navy. We could have had 9 wins last year. We could have had 4 wins last year. So to me, but that to me is where the Mike Houston effect comes into play because, man, he's a tough dude, man. And I'm telling you, those guys play tough. And we found a way to win those games, whereas in the past we find ways to lose them. You know, and that's where you know, the mentality has changed, and it's taken a few years. I remember Coach Ruff telling me one time, these boys have got to learn how to win, not lose. They're so used to losing. And that's what he said one time to me when he was struggling with some of the young guys. And here Mike is taking over a bunch that hadn't had any success. And you have to understand how to win versus, you know, giving up at the end and shrugging your shoulders. Because that Marshall game, you know, 3 years ago when Mike first got here, we lose that game. But this bunch, they came back and won that game because it's a different mentality.
No doubt. I was one of the only ones, I think the only one on this podcast that said we could still win. It was not, that was the third game of the year, and the South Carolina game we should have won. You know, there's, we let that one, in my opinion, get away, but we couldn't, could have, should have, would have. But the main thing, like you said, it's funny, the 8 wins is what I said, 7 wins last year, and we were 7-5. I'm going with 8 this year. And you know what, Midor, we could steal a couple games and win 9 or 10. You just don't know how this is going to play out. But I wanted to ask you, Bubba wants to know about, he did a really good social media campaign he was doing, getting former players and stuff to try to help out the Pirate Club. How do you feel about that? He wants to ask.
No, we should. You know what? The first thing I would do is, and this is calling out a lot of former players. Before you do that, I would ask those former players, are you a member of the Pirate Club? Because we have a lot of former players who aren't. And to me, I think that's where, you know, we had to figure out how – I was actually talking to Brian Bailey about this at lunch today. And I said, I'm so tired of hearing former players saying, you know, my university, once I left there, they just forgot about me. And I want to ask those players who think like that, I would like to say, well, have you forgotten about them? Us? Have you forgotten about us? And because I you know, like, for example, Jada Payne earlier, that I love her. She's one of my favorite women ever play at ECU. Dwayne Harris, love him. He's a great player. Shane Carr's one of my favorite players. They always speak positively of East Carolina. They never dog East Carolina. Whereas sometimes I hear some of our former players, they'll say, you know, East Carolina never did anything for me after I left. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. There are two ways to look at that for sure. And I think that, you know, it's hard for me because I don't want to get in trouble because I've fought since I arrived in 2011. I feel like we should do more with our former athletes. And I'm not blaming them. Don't get me wrong. When I say we're looking at it from two different spectrums, yeah. I'm saying, why haven't we reached out to them to get them more engaged with us? And once you've done that, then maybe they join, maybe they don't. But they are people that our fans recognize and appreciate. And when we did it, that whole Legends series was my idea. It was my idea from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was. We did it for 2 seasons. And Megan Henson from Learfield was terrific, IMG. She got behind me, and we worked hard to get as many people from many different generations we could to come. And we had some good ones. We had some really good ones from across. I don't think we missed anybody we thought we could get. But I'll tell you this, that hits big. I love that, bringing former players back. But it takes more than one video guy calling all the people he knows to ask the people they know to come back. And, you know, because I've been here a long time, I knew a lot of those players. And a lot of them were friends of mine. And we got them all back. And I'm not taking credit for that. I'm telling you, that's how we got it done. And it was Brian Bailey. I was a huge part of that because he knew a lot of those guys. So me and Brian Bailey and Matt Maloney helped a little for some of the guys from the 60s and 70s. And I thought it was a great series. Your cat up in the – your cat's getting after it back there now. So
that's Bruce. I named him after – I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan. So
there's
I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan. So there's Bruce and actually Confetti. Both – well, Bruce is about to
hear that. That's been the most entertaining part of this night, not me talking. It's that cat hanging from your curtain.
Yeah, I want to kill him, but, you know, like, I don't want the animal rights folks to be after me. But anyway, we had a question, a serious question, actually. It's hard to – you get always upstaged by kids and certainly animals, right?
Oh, yeah.
A serious question from you, from not talking about polls, and we're not going to get you fired.
Let's be paid.
You know, A's, Midor, how do you handle a coaching change, and have you gotten a relationship with a coach that is fired or leaving? How do you handle that with a coaching change?
I've had great relations with every coach that I've had that I've been a part of. I still keep in touch with Mo. I still keep – now, John Thompson is the one I don't keep in touch with anymore. I don't even know where he is now.
He was an athletic director, right, with his alma mater?
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, I don't know what happened to him. But I didn't really get it – as I had gotten out of the business, I only had like half a year with him. I didn't know him all. I knew we were in trouble. We were getting ready to play Carolina. I think we were both 0-4, and he called me Meter. And he was bouncing a ball into a trash can from like 15 yards away, like bouncing ball. He was during practice, and he goes, "Hey, Meter, get a shot of this. You can use that for that play of the day, y'all do." So I walk over and I start shooting, and he's bouncing one after the other, 15 yards out, 20 yards out, one hops from right in the trash can, right in the trash can. because that's good stuff in. And then I got to thinking, I was like, hey, coach, I walked him after practice. Hey, man, I don't think it's a good idea if I put that on. You know, here you are during practice bouncing a ball into a trash can. How's that going to look? And he said, come on, man, do it. So Billy showed it as his play of the day, John Thompson bouncing balls into the trash can, and he got ripped. I think it was the early days of the Boneyard, maybe. I don't remember, but he got ripped for it. And I was like, well, there you go. I mean, I think I nailed that one right. You're 0-4. I think it was 0-4. We were about to play. We lost to Carolina at home, and it was that rainy day, and it was a bad idea to do that because, you know, you can't win one game the year before and two games the next year and bounce balls into trash cans. So
that was 0-4, right? Was that 0-4?
Yeah, it was 0-4. Yeah. But Coach Mo, after he got his job with the Colts, his last time I actually exchanged texts with him, but I got along with him fine. I know he, you know, it was a bad deal here, and it just didn't work. But he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. And I enjoyed my personal relationship with him was fine. Skip, I still talk to Skip to this day. Of course, Ruff, I still talk to Ruff. And coach wise, Mac is one of my favorite. But you know, keeping the one thing that Mike did that I thought had to be done was when the way Ruff was fired, give him one more year. Maybe he earned being fired. Who knows? But give him that extra, that he deserved that next year. And our fans realized it. And as much as Ruff was a force in this community, it was a bad move. It doesn't mean that it wasn't warranted in some ways, but overall it just didn't sit well. And then when Mo had his failures with the staff and everything else, it just didn't go our way. When Mike Houston took over, the one thing that he made it a point to do was to repair that relationship with Ruff. And I thought that he didn't do that as a move. He did that because it was the right thing. And Houston gave a great speech on Ruff's Hall of Fame induction. And it was terrific. And he talked about all the things Ruff did off the field for his players and the things he accomplished on the field, the wins, the big wins, and some of the things that happened. He chewed that dirt at East Carolina before you ever blew a whistle on that field. And Mike Houston, when he spoke that night, I thought, man, he hit it on the head, man. He got it. He understood. Bringing Ruff back is not going to overshadow him. Bringing Ruff back was the right thing to do, and certainly it put him in a light that was like, you know, this guy gets it. He's so confident in him and himself. Bringing Ruff back didn't overshadow him at all. It was like, you know, this guy was a great Pirate, and I recognize that, and here I am standing beside him, and I thought it was fantastic.
You know, sometimes, and I had some comments made, and I won't say who they are because they're friends of mine, but some of the big donors, I appreciate them very much, but sometimes they get in our way. And they, you know, some of them that were not happy with things with, you know, Ruff. I'll just say that. Sure. And I said, you know, here's the deal. When you have a guy like Ruff, he knew what it was like. This is a guy that's from Lumberton. He played at East Carolina. He had many years of coaching. He knew how to recruit. I mean, when he went in your living room and when he was at the kitchen table with a mom, he's recruiting, you would believe him because he would tell them, I'm going to look after your son. And that was a true statement.
Sure.
And he could, I mean, he worked the room. I know Skip was another good one off the top of my head. And I know Houston is doing a great job, but the Ruff and McNeil thing has really overshadowed us. You know, it's like, I remember that day very well. You know, there's some people that remember when John F. Kennedy was shot or different places. Where were you? I remember that day, December 4th, 2015, very, very well. That's my mom's mom's birthday. God rest her soul. So it's obviously that's how I remember that day, unfortunately. But, you know, we've gotten our way a little bit. I feel like we're getting momentum back definitely with baseball. And Cliff Godwin, man, he's, I hate to use a cliche, knocking it out of the park, really proud of him. And we've got to give those things that we want. You know, coaches like him, he gets it as far as you would not believe, Amidor, how many baseball guys we have on this show. Every single one talks about SEC environment in Greenville, North Carolina, with Clark LeClaire, with our fans, the stadium. You and I grew up with Harrington Field. Think about that. So, but anyway, I was just, I'm just at the point now where I'm like, please, everybody give. I know we're running out of time. You've been generous. I'm looking at the time now, but I appreciate you very much. And you're a perfect example of what I was talking about the other night. We care. We get it. There's a lot of passionate fans out there. They need to give. You know, there's what I was going to say at the end of the show tonight. There are a lot of people. I have a friend of mine. He needs to get over the fact that we were talking about Ruffin and McNeil fired. I'm one of the biggest Ruffin and McNeil fans out there. And guess what? I'm not going to hurt student athletes for scholarships for the Pirate Club. I'm not going to hurt my university by bad decisions made previously by other administrations that I was not happy with. You know what? You and I both are going to die a pirate. There are others that, and I hope that the administration and people in your building will get how much we love our school and how much that we, people are passionate, man. You can't be casual as a pirate fan. Casual and pirate fan don't, that's a lifestyle. So anyway, let's see here. Pace is putting up meters.
I love Pace. Good gracious. That was the best intern class ever. We had six just superstars in that.
Who was there?
Who Pace was in it? Well, Cheryl Hawkins is the, she is a now the news director in Richmond at a TV station. I don't know where Lisa is now, but Pace was in there with me, and I got to tell you, Rodney was another good. We had a great class, and
who else? You said
Rodney. Well, he was Rodney. Rodney was with Pace when they showed they. It was coincidental. I was in Wilmington, and it was my first wife. We were only together for 2 years. It was before Kim. Kim was my long term, but who passed away a few years ago. The first, that's probably why the first marriage failed, because Pays was at my bachelor party. Rodney Young and Pays will tell you, he was, I think, the weekend sports guy in Wilmington at that point, but he was a great, great guy. And he and Pays were in there that night. And I roll in, and he's over there, and I got all my boys, and they're in there. It was hilarious. We were at a club. I'll just leave it at that. There was a pole there, but there was a club. And but B Pays was there with Rodney, and it was a fun night, and that was a great intern class, and Pays actually had a radio show that I was on a lot on WZMB back in the day, he was definitely, when he was at East Carolina, B Pays got it, he got involved and is a true pirate, so
no doubt. In fact, he and I both got our starts at ZMB.
Yeah,
the retro show. On Friday night, 70s and 80s. That was my baby.
So, yeah, yeah. It was the lowest rated show of the ZMB, I recall. Just lowest rated. I'm kidding, man.
No, actually, what's funny about that, I'll tell you this quick story and we'll get out of here. Literally had to bribe. I mean, they were paying us, and I'll go ahead and say it because that was many years ago. Dude, they were only paying us like $3 an hour. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
Something like that. I think my paychecks were like, I would average like
$9
a week, $30 a paycheck or something like that. But anyway, we definitely didn't do it for money. It was for experience. And I had to bribe people. It got so bad. When I say bad in a good way, it was a request show. And as soon as I would hang up the phone, like it would be flashing, the light would be flashing. People probably don't care about that, but you don't have a phone ringing in a studio because it's radio. And so I would have to get people to literally answer the phones because I had no way to keep up with all that I had going on with the show and all the requests. We were averaging over 50 requests in a 4-hour period. So 53, I think it was the average, but that was some of the most fun I've ever had. That, and right out of when I first met you, covering the Pirates in the late 90s when we were really good.
Yeah.
Man, that was good stuff, man. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know that we're going to get out of here, and I appreciate everything. I don't think people understand you guys. There's so many people I could start naming off that work really hard behind the scenes, and they go, "Oh man, did you see the Mike Houston show?" I'm like, "Do you know how many hours that dude?" Tell people, well, before we get out of here, tell people how many hours you put on that show. Like, what is it, like 23 minutes?
It's a lot. It's 28 minutes and 25 seconds, and it takes a lot of hours to put that together because it's just me. But there were so many things I would do differently if I had the manpower. But I would love to do there are a lot of things. That's a day for a show for another day.
All right. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate you so much. We'll let you get back.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for being true pirates.
No problem. Hope you have a great night.
You too, buddy. See you,
brother.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye. I appreciate Midor very much, and we want to tell everybody again to donate to the Pirate Club. We'll do this real quick at 252-737-4540. You can go to ecpirateclub.com anytime, and we want to get those numbers up. Season tickets, you can go 1-800-DAL-ECU. We're right at 15,000, so we're trying to – I know that's the goal, and we want to make sure we do that. One more thing, if you're a Pirate Club member, don't forget the – is it the kickoff luncheon? Is going to be Monday, August 22nd. I believe it's $30, and do that. Thanks to Brian Medor. He's great. We had another great show, as always. And we want to bring in Bubba, if you can hear me. He's at a game. Bubba, if you want to mention two sponsors, first one is that one right there, PGX Gloves. Thanks to Mark Menikazi, pgxgloves.com. And back, by the way, you go there, put in the promo code ECU, get 25% off all products. And I, in fact, over in my living room, I have my sons. I could show you, but I don't want to, I'm the only one talking right now. But anyway, thanks to Mark for the, he supported our show from the last couple years. So we appreciate Mark, and they do great work. If you're looking for really cool batting gloves, any kind of gloves, golf gloves, they do it great. And we have a brand new sponsor. So thanks to PGX Gloves, an old sponsor of ours that have been around. But we have a brand new one, Porky's Backyard Barbecue. My good friends, Mark Holiday, he and I grew up together. We graduated high school. He and his brother Terry opened up a great, great place. Let me tell you, some of the best barbecue and barbecue chicken. They've got ribs, seafood. You can dine in, they have a drive-through. We have karaoke next Friday night. We're going to do there 7 to 10, but they're open 11 to 8 daily, and great stuff. So thanks for their support of the program, and we got some more exciting stuff we'll unveil as the month of August goes on. That's all I'm saying right now. I didn't even talk to the guys about that. All right, we'll get out of here. Appreciate everybody so much. A lot of people viewing. Thanks for the participation from everyone. Medor, you're the best, and we'll get out of here. Thanks to Mark, Pays, everybody chiming in, Jada. We appreciate all of you very, very much. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. From the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close. All out to the last whistle blow. From the flag of the soul and cross bones. Everybody stand up, get your hands up. Team know that we got they back. This is our house, this is our town, our town.